You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of October 14th, 2015, and this podcast is exclusively for the iPod Nano.
Take that, Zune.
Oh, I should have said Zune.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I am George Alborg.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about the video games.
All of them.
All of those video games.
Regardless of which platform they're on. Maybe.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Is there any platform we don't, like, collectively... We don't have an Xbox One. I could get one, though.
Yeah, I mean, we have played Xbox One games. Sure. Well, we were just talking about this in the intro. We don't have an N-Gage.
That's true. We don't have an N-Gage.
I don't have a Virtual Boy.
Nothing is backwards compatible for those systems.
I don't know. I don't have one.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny. I plan on going to Japan spring of next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go...
Can I send you with an empty suitcase?
Well, yeah. So
and then you just buy a bunch of crazy
shit.
So,
yes, literally. Yeah. Like all kinds of, like... Scott, your list only says women's panties. What is this all about? There are stores that you can find, like, rare video games. I don't really have anything that can play those, though. So now I'm wondering, like, do I invest...
You could buy a Famicom.
But, like, if I could... Yeah, that's true. I could do that. But if I see, like, an original Earthbound for, like, 20 bucks, 20 Japanese bucks, do I pick it up knowing that I'll never be able to play it?
You could just frame it, though.
That's true.
And you can think about playing
it. Sell it on eBay.
And you can pray.
That's true. And I can pray to Earthbound.
What are we... Oh, okay. We're talking about... Speaking of weird JRPGs... We got inspired this week because Patrick Klepek over at Kotaku wrote a story in his ongoing series, which I actually find pretty amusing. He has this series of posts that is that time and then fill in the blank.
That time when? Yeah. That time, yeah. That.
So this is that time Final Fantasy ditched Nintendo for Sony, which is like a pretty hilarious thing.
So these
thing.
Are like reminders yeah, of like our video history game thing. History lesson. Yeah, yeah okay. I like that.
And he recounts the time when Squaresoft walked away from Nintendo and decided to make games on other platforms.
Yeah. Traitors.
Yeah, which I still haven't gotten over. And it's not so much necessarily this story in particular, although I think it is interesting, but I think the idea of, one, where JRPGs live is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Two...
In my basement.
Where I keep them in cases.
Mom, don't come down here.
Yeah. And also just the idea of where a game is available and how that sets you on a trajectory for what types of platforms you have and also what types of games you play. Because yeah. I feel like that happens to me a lot.
Yep. Even now.
Yeah, even now. Oh, certainly okay. Even now. And, you know, what that means for the types of games we play. So we're going to chat about that a little bit today.
Let's go into the Wayback Machine real quick. I only played... My first Final Fantasy game was on PlayStation.
Oh.
So there was never... And this is probably true for a lot of people of our generation and younger or, you know, older, depending on which way you're going. But I think a lot of people didn't play Final Fantasy until the PlayStation era. So to me, in my mind, like when I was playing those games, they were a Sony thing. Like if you had told me then that these used to not be available, they used to be only on Nintendo, I probably wouldn't really believe you unless you showed me them playing on Nintendo.
So you didn't play Final Fantasy 3/6?
I did eventually, yeah, of course. But Final Fantasy 7 is where I started.
I think
8 and then 9 and then 10.
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely played... Like, to me, it was very linked. And, like, Squaresoft itself was very linked to Nintendo.
Right.
Because... Not only could you go back to the Nintendo Entertainment System and play those games, but, I mean, Super Nintendo was where it was a powerhouse. Like, Squaresoft did Final Fantasies 4 and 6. Obviously, they did 5, too, but it wasn't in America when I was playing it.
What was Chrono Trigger on?
Super Nintendo.
Initially. Oh, okay.
Chrono Trigger was Super Nintendo. Secret of Mana was Super Nintendo.
Yeah, man, see, none of these games. And I had a Nintendo system. I never had an SNES.
Yeah. Super Mario RPG, a collaboration between Nintendo and Squaresoft.
Which is very well loved.
Yeah, yeah. Was on. So, I mean, like, I think that even, I think Super Mario RPG actually plays into this, where it's like, Squaresoft was almost looked at as, like, a second-party developer for God, Nintendo. That's
so weird.
You know?
So, why the drama? Why the breakup?
Well, this is where Mr. Businessman comes into play, because Mr. Businessman...
Sony's making a lot of money right now.
Well, I mean, Mr. Businessman was looking at the balance sheets, and over at, you know, during the heyday of the 1990s, and realized cartridges are fucking expensive to make.
Yes.
And it's hard to cram a bunch of full motion video into them. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, Squaresoft wanted to go a different direction with how they did Final Fantasy games.
God, do you think there must have been so much drama?
Oh, yeah.
Like, when they finally tell their business partners, hey, we're not going to launch this game on your platform.
Yeah. Well, and also...
do you think people died? Do you think someone was murdered over this?
No, but I bet they wish they died. I mean, there's actually some, test alpha footage of Final Fantasy... kind of test code running on Nintendo hardware. There's this really cool website that I like a lot. It's like probably one of the nerdiest things that I visit on the internet. It's called unseen64.com, where they chronicle games and demos and alphas that were never released.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's like a weird archive.
Yeah, it's an archive of things that were never commercially released, or maybe were commercially released and then pulled back for some reason.
And so
reason
this
or whatever.
Was an experimentation on the Nintendo systems to see if they could withstand the new direction.
So basically, there's a demo of a Final Fantasy looking battle, you know, two rows or a row of heroes and a big old golem that they're fighting. It kind of looks like Final Fantasy VII, except less texture and less polygons on it.
And they're like, this looks like hot garbage.
Well, they're like, okay, this is what a 3D Final Fantasy could be, which, fair enough, it could be. Like, N64 could push a lot of polygons, but it certainly couldn't economically push all that full motion video, because you'd have to put so many chips into the cartridge, and that would become like a $100 cartridge.
Right. And keep in mind, the FMVs sort of defined that next generation of Final Fantasies.
Yep, exactly. And then the other thing that happened...
And my own fantasies. my bedroom fantasies.
I only dream in FMV. It's funny, though. It's 1990s FMV, so the resolution's real bad.
Real bad.
Then they released this, or they published this advertisement in magazines, where they had a double-fold magazine ad.
And oh, yeah, that's spread out. I'm looking at it right now in my hands, yeah.
And can you read the top?
Yes, it says, "Someone please get the guys who make cartridge games a cigarette and a blindfold."
And it's showing
fucking fire.
And it's showing a gun as the centerfold picture. So it's like, I guess they're going to line up in front of a firing squad and die?
I mean, did they have to be so cold-blooded?
I mean, it was the 1990s, man. The console wars. That was the height of the console wars.
I mean, that's true, right? You could throw down, like, commercially as a business and call people out in a way.
This was the time when John Romero called out humanity and claimed that he would make his collective his bitch.
That's
I mean,
the collective us. Yeah. Us, yeah.
This was,
for a moment, we were all together John Romero's bitch.
Yeah. I mean, it was a different time. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit doesn't fly. Like, I mean, also,
this
like...
This is the Nintendon't era.
Yeah, exactly.
This is when, like, does doing Nintendo. The do was paramount.
It was back when Nintendo would claim to play it loud. Remember all that? It was just...
Can I just say for a second how happy I am we live in today?
But we're going to go back.
Do you think there's, like, if time travel existed, the reason, like, time travelers were never seen in those years is because they never wanted to go back in that time period.
They were too embarrassed. Like, they're like, oh, God, no.
We're skipping the 80s.
I mean, Friends was cool and everything, but still. it was a contentious time. Mm-hmm. And so I remember being pissed.
You remember the move. Like, you remember being like, what the fuck?
Yes.
Oh, man.
And I was already oh, yeah, I can't wait till the N64. I wonder what Squaresoft's going to do.
So this is a good question, then, because I didn't really experience this.
Yeah.
When you had that occur, when you saw, at that point, did you say, well, I'm just giving up on Square Enix games? Or did you say, well, now I have to save up my lunch money until I can buy a Sony console?
Yeah, there was some bitterness at first.
I mean, you could run to mommy and be like, "Mommy, dearest, please, I need to check on Squall or whatever."
Right. Yeah. No one wants.
You didn't have a job at this point.
No. I mean, I had.
You had your slave labor camp for children.
Yeah, and my drug business. Okay. But no, I do remember that. I remember I got so desperate that.
You robbed a store, a liquor store.
It would have been more efficient to rob a liquor store. What I did was bought Final Fantasy VII later. I still didn't have a PlayStation.
Wait. You bought the game before you had the console to play it on?
Kind of. So I didn't have a PlayStation till late in the PlayStation cycle when my parents randomly got me one when there was like a bunch of price drops or whatever like sure. that. Like it, you know, it was actually a really good time to get a PlayStation because by that time it was a great library. Like mm-hmm. MGS was out, like all that stuff.
Right.
Anyway, so before I had a PlayStation, I purchased Final Fantasy VII for the PC and tried to install it on my grandparents'
oh my god
Pentium 3 166 megahertz machine.
Wow.
I think it was a Pentium 3. And
so basically like a fax machine.
Yeah, pretty much. It ran like shit. Man, the frame rate dipped to about, I don't know, 5-10 frames a second battles.
Did you finish it?
I did not finish it, but I put too much time into it.
Wow. I'm so impressed with that, man. That's a young upstart Scott being like, I'm going to get shit done.
Like, Grandma, get out of here.
Grandma,
I'm playing my game.
Get aside.
I remember thinking to myself that my grandmother, like, looked at it and watched me play it for a little bit mm-hmm. and referred to it as, is this game about dolls?
That is so fucking funny. Because of the figures? Like,
how yeah, because they're little. And then it's like, no, Grandma, God.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Little did she know.
It was about dolls.
It was about dolls.
No, I mean, like, I think little did she know it was the most epic masterpiece of the time,
yeah.
According to, you know, teenage Scott. So that's how desperate I was to play this game because I had made this choice, you know, I was, okay, I'm going to go for Nintendo again because Super Mario 64 looks crazy. Mm-hmm. And, like, look at that crazy wave race, you know, like, all that stuff, you right. know? I mean, so I had made that choice, and then when I realized that Squaresoft is not going to make games for this system,
right.
It was like, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
See, for me, because that was my first experience, I immediately associated Sony with RPGs.
Yep.
Like, that was the era for me yeah. when I got heavily into RPGs, mm-hmm. like Legend of Dragoon and mm-hmm. All sorts of other RPGs that I could play on the Sony system. And there yeah. were a lot, not just Squaresoft games as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think where there was some idea that where Squaresoft went, that's where the RPGs would go. And
right.
largely accurate because that's where the fans went. So if you're going to make something like, you know, like you were saying, Legend of Dragoon or any of the smaller RPGs that were out at that time, Breath of Fire, you know, mm-hmm. that sort of shit. Like, Breath of Fire was originally a Super Nintendo game as well.
Yeah.
And then, like, the later Breath of Fires, I think, transitioned to PlayStation at a certain point.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Illusion of
Gaia. Star Ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Star Ocean...
Was that originally on
I think that was
Sega
a Genesis,
system?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Lumia? I think Lumia was a Genesis thing, too. Or maybe a Saturn
thing
at a certain point.
Or what's a Silver Star story?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it was a big deal, not only because I can't play Squaresoft games, but it's like, okay, is this going to be, like you said, is this going to be the ecosystem of JRPGs?
Right.
And it was.
Yeah.
Even for Squaresoft shit. Like, remember Vagrant Story and all that stuff? Like, that was cool.
I mean, the other thing I associate with that console, too, are the magazines that came with demo discs.
Ah, yeah.
Were there demo cartridges?
Nah. There was, like, limited run cartridges.
Right. I mean, I wonder if I had never moved to Sony, if I would have sort of opened up games as much as I did in that time period.
Mm.
Right? Like, the diversity of games that I played must yeah. have grown dramatically.
I mean, that PlayStation era, I think, was really big for expanding the game footprint.
Right.
You know, that's when, like, sports games started getting, like, bigger and more, like, rigidly annualized. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like, the Maddens and the NCAAs and stuff of the world. It gave us the unmistakable 1990s genre of car combat.
Of course, Twisted Metal. Yeah. I mean, what's funny is I still associate, in that era, I still associate shooters with, like, GoldenEye on the Nintendo. Right?
Yeah.
Like, the competitive games that I played was Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Whereas the single experience games were all Sony stuff.
Well, and I think the Nintendo stuff, because GoldenEye set that precedent of here's how you can do a shooter on a console effectively, then it's like obviously they followed up with Perfect Dark, but yep. You know, all the Turok games are on there too. I mean, there were I think they put like Forsaken mm-hmm. on N64. Like the types of games that get put out there and then the types of people that flock to those consoles, like
yeah.
It seems to almost be like this weird self-fulfilling prophecy of like
sure.
what's there and who's playing.
I mean, none of it really exists anymore.
I mean, I think that's kind of the cool part of Patrick's the later part of Patrick's article, which is like Squaresoft has again made a change.
Yep.
Because, you know, for a while they were Sony, right?
They will only be played on the Neo Geo systems from now on.
But it's like Final Fantasy 14, or sorry, 13, made a huge splash because it was a 360 game as right. well.
Yeah.
And then people, it was almost the same exact reaction. Like, people were like, oh my god, betrayal, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
I mean.
But it wasn't exclusively for 360.
No, and I think that was the switch, right? Like, we're no longer locked into the exclusivity model, but like the platform shift, so to speak, has been, it's just on all platforms now.
Right.
Final Fantasy 14 is on the freaking PC because it's an MMO. Yeah. Or whatever.
I mean, and the exceptions are few and far between.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Even now, right, like there might be exclusives, but it doesn't feel like that is the ecosystem now.
Yeah.
If I wanted to play an RPG, I still could. But, you know, things like Tomb Raider,
mm-hmm.
where there's like a year exclusivity,
yeah.
It's a bummer, but it's not the type of thing that will shift a system, I don't think.
Yeah.
The one exception being things like Halo and stuff like that. But again, that's not I don't associate the whole genre with that anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these days, when people ask me, oh, what console should I buy? I tend to go, say, PS4 just because that's where a lot of my friends are. And,
yeah.
You know, yeah, you could do Xbox One. That's totally fine. But if you buy a PS4, you can play with me.
Mm.
There's a good community. I like the controller, all that kind of stuff.
It's
not, you could go anywhere, but the environment is sort of, it's up to you, right? It's like, who do you want to play with? That's really the more important question.
Yeah. And I think that there's even other games that have, I mean, it's not just Squaresoft, it's everyone doing it now.
Right.
Like, for me, like, Metal Gear was always a Sony thing.
Yeah.
And up until this same last here. Game, it was, right?
Right.
You know, like, you had to get a PlayStation or a PS2 or even a PS3. I think they started porting things to 360, but, like, to play a new Metal Gear game, you had to have a Sony machine.
Do you think this whole conversation is just weird to PC gamers, though? Who are like, oh, we've had everything forever.
Well, they haven't, though.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I mean,
yeah.
Like,
certainly not Nintendo games.
Yeah, I mean, so this is where I kind of want to talk about, like, the trajectory. Like, if I had a PC that was capable enough to play Deus Ex, I can imagine this alternate reality where I never played Metal Gear and just got super into Deus Ex.
Right.
You know?
Oh, you mean in the past?
Yeah, exactly.
You had a PC.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, what happens
yeah.
if, you know, it's 1998 and instead of playing GoldenEye multiplayer, you got really into Half-Life, which then sent
yeah.
you down the rabbit hole of the Source engine, which then sent you to Counter-Strike.
Right.
You know?
That's a good point. I mean, I had friends who were really into, like, Warcraft and Starcraft.
Yeah.
I never played those games seriously until into the college years because I just never had a PC capable of running those things or an
yeah.
internet connection when I'm growing up in the fucking boondocks farmlands
right.
of Sonoma County, right?
Right?
So those things were never at my fingertips. And there are now people who that is their era. When they think of those 90s, they don't think of
yep.
Sony and RPGs. They think of, you know,
Command and Conquer
exactly,
and like StarCraft
yeah,
and
RTS
yeah.
and Civilization and
yeah.
things like that. SimCity even,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a lot of love for those franchises based upon PC.
Yeah.
I think to some extent that's still true now, right? Like, my PC is getting there in terms of age. It's like 5-6 years almost.
Old man PC.
It's an old PC, and I'm really on the cusp of getting a new one. But I'm at that point now where even things that aren't really high resolution, cool looking games are difficult to run.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have access to things that I would love to check out that are exclusively to the PC.
Yep.
A lot of early access games that are PC exclusives, I just don't have access to. Like, you know, Ark Survival Evolved, which I bought but haven't touched really because I doubt my computer can really handle it much.
It's like bump it down till it's just like a bunch of little triangles running from big triangles.
Yeah, like I don't know. That's ideal. I mean, another example would be Hearthstone, right? I don't really play on my computer that often. I don't have an iPad. I don't have a tablet, so I don't play Hearthstone.
Do you play on your phone?
I don't because I only ever really it's not fun to play on my phone at home because the screen's so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
So I only ever use my phone for gaming when I'm commuting, and I need a consistent internet connection, so I don't mm-hmm. have that as well.
Yeah.
So I don't play Hearthstone on the phone either.
Hmm.
So it's kind of weird, because there are certain games that I just don't play, and now I'm in a weird space too, where I don't even turn my computer on all that often, unless I'm going to play League of Legends.
Mm.
So even games that I can play, I don't play, because I don't remember to play them. Something like This War of Mine, I bought a while ago, and I played a little bit when I was on a work trip.
Yeah.
But since then, I haven't touched it, because I so rarely keep my PC on at all.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think
check that my email on my PS4? It's great. I don't. That's a terrible idea.
I mean,
but I mean, I check my email on my phone actually, so I do end up like not.
I think there is like, on. I mean, I and this goes back to the Final Fantasy thing. I think there is there's a strength in the platform as to just what's in front of your face.
Yes.
You know, what will happen, because it's like all of a sudden, Final Fantasy was inexplicably like in front of you. At a certain point, because you had a PlayStation in a way that it wasn't when you didn't have a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean the games were any better or worse. They were just present.
And that's probably more true now that the home screen of all of these next-gen consoles are so heavily curated.
Yep.
Like, you see what Sony wants you to see. What, you were just saying you turn on your PS4 and there's fucking Destiny in there as though you already own it.
I know. There's a Destiny tile as if I had purchased it.
Yeah, waiting for you to play.
And it was like, Destiny, the Taken King.
Come back to us, Scott.
Yeah, and it was like, what?
Oryx demands sacrifice.
My PlayStation 4 has been taken.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
I know about Destiny.
I mean, that alone is kind of weird, right? Because I don't know what the two ecosystems look like. I wonder if the games that PlayStation is promoting are the same ones that Xbox is promoting.
Certainly
not for indie games that tend to be exclusive on each of those platforms. Yeah. But...
Plus, Sony had that big co-marketing deal with Activision Bungie for getting all the DLC first and all that stuff.
Yeah.
PlayStation is still considered kind of the premier marketing platform.
I mean, all that being said, I feel like this is really only a question for the smaller indie games, right? Like, for Fallout 4, everyone and their mother is going to be playing and promoting Fallout. Yeah. So that's not going to be an issue in regards to consoles. In a weird way, I still feel like it is an issue with JRPGs.
Yeah.
So while Final Fantasy is on any console, I've been playing Danganronpa on the Vita.
First off, tell me what that game is.
Danganronpa.
I've heard multiple people talk about it.
I
had no
idea what this was, by the way, until I like just started playing it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's basically an interactive visual novel.
Okay.
It's very much like Phoenix Wright. So basically there are story elements. You're objecting
to things.
Yeah, there's story elements, then there's some like relationship stuff, and then you have a trial and you object to things. Exactly right.
God damn it.
Yeah. So
trial RPGs.
What's interesting though is that it's got that Japanese aesthetic. It's super weird. The voice acting is bizarre. The aesthetics are bizarre.
Is it English localized?
It is English localized. Okay. So there's English voice acting, some of which is actually pretty good. There's just some weird characters, and it's got that weird aesthetic that I associate with JRPGs and Japanese games in general that I just haven't had in a very long time, partially because these types of games were only available on the Vita.
Yeah. I don't know enough off the top of my head, but I have this sense in my mind that people who really like that genre, the Vita has been great for them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, what, Persona is only coming to the PlayStation 4 soon for Persona 5?
Yeah, Persona 5's coming out.
But the other ones were, like, previous consoles.
Yeah, they were PS2 games, and then they pushed some of them to Vita. I don't know if they pushed them to the other consoles.
I don't know if they ever came to PS3. And again, Danganronpa, I think the next one is coming to the PlayStation 4 as well. Huh. So, I mean, maybe JRPGs are sort of going to have a resurgence on these consoles now, but
yeah.
I don't know, in a weird way, it feels like some of them were only on, only on handhelds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true for Professor Layton, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the variety of other Japanese games that either don't get ported to the US at all, or when they do, are only to the handheld markets.
Yeah.
Because that's where weeaboos like to play video games.
George is wearing his cat ears right now.
I like the cat tail that like automatically moves based on my emotions.
Talk to me about the previous generation. What trajectory
sent the PS3 you? And stuff?
Yeah, PS3, Xbox. Because I feel like that... people maybe don't talk about it as much now that we have the most recent console generation, but I feel like I got slotted into the Sony ecosystem super early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's true. I got slotted into the Xbox one pretty early for... mostly for Halo and those competitive shooters.
Because Halo 3... I remember Halo 3 being, like, the reason so many people were buying 360s.
And I'm still a huge fan of couch co-op, and knowing that I could pull off couch co-op was a major reason.
Not anymore.
I don't... At that point, I had a job. So at some point, I just made the call to buy both, and I had both consoles.
Yeah.
And then I just played whatever I felt like playing on whichever console had that game on it.
I remember, like, I think the 360 was for JRPGs what, like, the Super Nintendo or the PlayStation 1 was to JRPGs, was to shooters, rather. So, like, the 360, you had Gears, I feel like.
Yeah, Gears of War.
The Halo ecosystem kind of accidentally fertilized the soil for Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And then all, like, Call of Duty to me is, like, synonymous with the Xbox.
Yep.
Even though I played all of the Call of Duties on PS3. You know
what's weird is, like, we've been doing this podcast for so long that I remember when we were first doing this, we would trade consoles sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
We would just, like, I'd give you the 360 and I'd take your PS3 to play whatever game.
Or we would just, like, hang out. Like, I would have to go over to your house and be like, all right, we're going to play through Gears of War all day today.
Yeah, I mean, we still do that for Call of Duty. Like, we'll do it for Gears, by the way. I'll just borrow my work.
Yeah, I mean, easily, right? Like, and I think, I really feel like that's probably why I, to this day, still haven't gotten deep into, like, the last shooter I really got deep into was Titanfall, and it was because it was on a PC.
Yeah.
But, like,
Battlefront, Scott, whoa.
Get Battlefront, I guess. I mean, and then on Sony, I got into it because
Uncharted?
That's where the God of War 3 and the God of War, whatever, the franchise? Second one is Ascension. Yeah. Like, all that stuff was on PS3. And I thought that The Last Guardian would come out.
We all thought The Last Guardian was going to come out, Scott. When is it supposed to come out now? Next year?
I have it saved.
It's funny that people
have it saved on Amazon.
I mean, this is similar, right? Like, our mutual friend Nate an Xbox One because of Phantom Dust.
Oh yeah,
then it was an SN, and it's canceled. Yeah. Bummer.
I feel like the PS3 era was, for us anyway, it was the more kind of artsy, experimental major console platform.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I think the independent, the mainstream indie stuff has, like, a huge debt for, like, the Xbox, what was it?
XBLA,
yeah, and there was, like, the fun Explosion that puts Man out, Explosion Man, Braid, like, all of those, like, but then it was Sony Santa Monica that went with, like, this game company, or that game company, and a bunch of other kind of smaller, like, weirder, so it's like, if you're into that, then the Sony ecosystem was what kind of like locked
Katamari
me in.
Like Katamari and Nobi Nobi Boy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, oh man, Nobi Nobi Boy. Like, that was, again, like, one of our earlier PlayStation 3 experiences.
Right.
Where we would just, like, you would come over to my house and say, well, where's girl these days?
I'm like, she's all reaching halfway Mars. To the moon.
Yeah, like, and so it's like, you get locked into, like, the platform based off of what games are out there, and then it becomes a cycle of those games continue to be released for it.
Right. And you search them out, right? Like, you're aware, oh, I really enjoyed that game, I'm going to search for more, and they already have relationships with Sony, so naturally they continue producing for that console.
Like, can you imagine playing Journey on anything besides... You can play it on PS4 now, actually, which I haven't, but, like, it's so inextricably linked to the PS3
for Sony
me.
What Sony is, And again, those are reasons why PS4 was such a attractive buy when it first came out as well, that Xbox didn't have, because they hadn't associated themselves for that market at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, we're having this conversation, yet neither of us apparently had Sega systems at hand. Neither of us had, you know, Dreamcast.
I would do that same thing. I'd go over to friends' houses to find Dreamcast stuff.
It's the thing is, if that had been you, if you'd been playing Crazy Taxi all the time, you'd still be where you're at today.
We're like, no, guys, that first level of Sonic Adventure Dreamcast was really good.
It's ahead of its time.
Choo-choo Rocket.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It is ahead of its time, but still.
I mean, you know, we're all just late bandwagon people because of the Shenmue
Crash
thing.
Bandicoot? Like, I still associate that with Sony.
I mean, it is like, Sony, but yeah. That's the only thing. Like, I mean, Naughty Dog in general.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I came to the PS2 era pretty late, and so I never really played the, like, Jack and Daxter games or the Ratchet and Clank games or any of that stuff, and that just seems like quintessentially PS2 to me.
Yeah.
I was too busy fucking playing Luigi's Mansion or something.
Sure, yeah. It's funny too now, because I even associate certain friends with their consoles.
Like my Xbox friends.
Like, my cousin doesn't really play video games anymore, but like, I only ever played Sega systems when I was at his house, because he had Sega systems.
Yeah, that was the same, actually, for me, too. Like, the people that would have that man, like, I remember I went over to someone's house and my mind was blown when I saw a 32X. Like, I thought this was just an EGM. That's
so many X's.
Yeah, like, I would have never thought this. Yeah, it's definitely weird, but, like, the multi-platform universe has... It's just taken so much of that away from... I don't even really think about it all that much anymore.
Because so much of who you... so much of the games that you play that define you as someone... As a player of these games. Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about, you know, the gamer identity...
Yeah.
Is shaped by those consoles that you have access to.
Yeah.
And then handhelds, like, for sure, right? Like, even the ones that I had as a kid.
I think the handheld market is the kind of last bastion of that, because... The 3DS and the Vita are, like, wildly different in terms of just physicality.
Right.
And so they have wildly different types of games.
But, I mean, how much are they even being produced anymore, right? Like, Vita's not being supported really anymore. There's no history of a new Vita, right? I mean, Sony specifically said they have no plans on making another Vita.
Right. I mean, they'll put out one or two games here and there, but... I mean, even Nintendo is slowing down a little bit, I feel like. But the difference is... you know, the two screens is, like, a huge difference. So it's like you're really setting yourself into an ecosystem.
I wonder if we're going to have a new ecosystem with VR.
Yeah.
Like, if there's going to be types of VR games that are only available on the Oculus versus the Morpheus versus whatever third-party Steam VR.
Like Sony's thing? Like, you know, I mean, those things won't have the same type of specs. So I wonder if even some games won't be able to run on certain...
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because VR is, like, probably the first time in a really, really long time that we've gotten something hardware-based that's, like, substantive enough to be a dividing line.
Yeah, absolutely, you know? Yeah.
Hmm. Man, what if we go with the wrong
headgear? Oh, no! We're going to have all three on, attached at once, and have, like, seven VR realities.
So I just want, like, a rotating hat so I can swing it around. Like,
when do you think we're going to get a game that's, like, Inception, where, like, you put on the VR, but then in the game, put on a VR, and you just go, like, 10 layers deep?
I bet someone at this very moment is working on
a game like that? I fucking hope so.
Yeah. All right, let's leave it there for now. I think that's, like, it was, like, a weird conversation down memory lane, but... people just don't... That world doesn't really exist as much anymore. Like, it's just a different thing.
I'm glad it doesn't exist.
Hey, it was a strange...
I'm worried about which exclusive hats to get in my games.
Ugh, that's a whole nother thing. We tore the walls down only to build up micro walls within all of our games. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our own online ecosystem.
Yep.
Everyone's welcome over there.
For 99 cents.
Do us a favor, leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher, or a little rating, a star rating. Mm-hmm. Helps us find new listeners.
Yep. All right. Until next time, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.
There's a place you go.